Top Gun Maverick es la película número uno en el mundo.
Damn right.
Es absolutamente explosiva de principio a fin. Y una de las mejores películas de todos los tiempos.
Having any fun yet?
Tom Cruise, Top Gun Maverick, clasificada PG-13.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we are back. And boy, we have a whole lot more to come. So, Jonathan, pick it up where you left off there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So, I want to mention for the listeners that that letter is published online on Substack. So far, I've just been sharing with places like local media sites and friends and publishing. My Substack is Right Justified with Jonathan. And it's Right Justified, is there's no space, RightJustified, Right Justified with Jonathan on Substack. So that letter is at the top of the page there. If you're fighting a similar fight, grab the letter, grab the contents, share. I make it freely available to anybody interested in this subject matter. But as I was mentioning before we went to the break, I've been traveling all over the state of Ohio and communicating with other states across the nation fighting for traditional education, mostly K through 12, but I've entered some conversations around college campuses as well and free speech, etc. But I recognized fairly early on that there's only so far that we can go. And if you've been following any sort of media, you're probably hearing groups like ours referred to as domestic terrorists. We're those dreaded people, the calm, cool, and collected parents that go into school board meetings. Ooh, we're so dangerous. I'm being facetious.
Well, they're using the FBI. In other words, you love burn, loot, and murder, burn down the cities. Antifa burned down the cities. In Chicago, would they have 50-something people shot over the weekend?
Yeah.
But when parents are actually concerned about what their children are finding out because of COVID, they found out what we've been telling them for years. Look, for 50 years, I've been telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. If you love them, get them out of there, okay?
Yep.
Because of cultural Marxism. And so... So, yeah, so what happens? The deep state, Merrick Garland, our so-called attorney general, he targets parents. Parents are criminals. Parents are the enemy because they're concerned about what their children are learning. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and you know, his son-in-law is one of the owners of Panorama, which is one of the third-party vendors of this pornography garbage that's being sold to schools. There is so much money swirling around schools and pupils and so-called education. It's unbelievable. It is it's money laundering. I'm sorry to say, but the more I dig into this and the more that I learn what's happening in K through 12 education, it's not only shameful and harmful, but it's racketeering. It's unbelievable and corrupt and awful. So I've been fighting that fight, and you know there are groups of us that go around, and we do everything from signs and T-shirts to organizing to the group that I'm involved with, Protect Ohio Children. We counsel communities to go through all the books and records and the finances of schools, you name it, everything. From tip to tail, hiring practices, if they have one of those, I call them DIE coordinators, you name it. But I fairly quickly stumbled onto a realization, and that is we would go in, raise a fuss, and then communicate with our local legislators, and it would fall on deaf ears. We have quite literally, I'm aware of people very high up in government who have been specifically handed absolute rock-solid evidence of horrible things happening in K through 12, and almost none of them have any spine whatsoever to even communicate on it, much less pursue it legally. So we get stalled, and I got involved and learned something called precinct strategy. The precinct strategy And that, believe me, folks, this all ties in together, and this gets to the heart of the letter that I sent out, this dear Geauga County, and it is part of this national debate that's taking place, this national fight for our country. If you have the view, the same view I do, and same optics, you probably recognize that education is a key battleground, but it involves everything. Everything's under attack. Two-way, Second Amendment, First Amendment, you name it. But the way that we're going to fix this, in my opinion, is something called the precinct strategy. And that goes something like this. This is my way of paraphrasing the precinct strategy. There are two political parties. Everyone else is squeezed out, all the other Green Party and Libertarian and all that stuff. None of them can ever get a foothold because the Republican and Democrat Party, they're effectively one and the same now. They've kind of merged in various ugly ways, but they control everything. They squeeze out all the other parties and stop them from getting started and growing. So considering that there are two parties and knowing that they're both broken, the precinct strategy, it thinks this way. Only one of the two parties is potentially salvageable, and that is the Republican Party. And the only way we're going to salvage the Republican Party is from the ground up. That's starting at the local level, small local level, and then working our way up to county, then to state, then to national, and reforming the Republican Party. I believe that is, when you listen to Trump, and he was talking about no socialism under my watch, and as he was being forced out of the office after the debacle of November 3rd, he said, it's up to the people now. I believe that this is one of the things that was meant by that comment. So, I ran for Central Committee. I won my seat. I am taking over starting on June 8th with that election. It's my first opportunity to be in an elected position anywhere. But here's the thing about this precinct strategy. If I want to bear with me a second here, Pastor. I'm going to assume for a moment that your average listener is like me a year ago. What in the heck is a Central Committee? And what do they do? So the Republican Party has a Central Committee. They're like the board of directors for the Republican Party, but they have several levels to that. There's a county Central Committee. So think of that group as the board of directors for the Republican Party. Then there's a state-level Central Committee, and they tie in with the state Republican Party and integrate with the state capitol. The way the party is supposed to work, the community gathers and talk to each other, like you and I, gentlemen, talking about key issues like Second Amendment and how do we feel, and we get the pulse from the county, and we tell our precinct chairperson our feelings, and we talk about that. And our precinct chairperson is supposed to take the voice of the people, the will of the people, and take it into the local county precinct, the local county central committee, and say, hey, here's how my people feel on this issue. If it's abortion, First Amendment, education, gun rights, you name it. The county is supposed to then communicate up to the state. And the state says, well, we've got a pretty good consensus of feedback from our entire state and all the constituents and our Republican Party, all those people who send in those checks, they pay us. We now know pretty well what the state feels like. What do they want on this issue? That's the way that it's supposed to work. It's so ridiculously broken right now. In the state of Ohio, we have this, am I allowed to mention politicians by name? I think I am here. Yes, I'm getting the nod. So in the state of Ohio, we deal with this atrocious train wreck called Bob Padoochick. Bob Padoochick is the head of the Republican Party in the state of Ohio. I call him a Kiss the Ring character. He's one of those people who feels like he's on high and runs the Republican Party in the state of Ohio exactly the opposite of the way it was designed. And that is, he tries to dictate down and ignores any communication. I don't even know if he hears any or ever gets any on his throne, wherever he is. He's in our state capital, and he dictates down to the little people, the peasants, if you will, the will of the Republican Party. We're working on changing that. Wherever you are in the country, and if parts of this letter or my discussion about trying to get the political will to change education, or our comments on Second Amendment that Marty made earlier, if any of that resonates with you, I really strongly encourage taking that approach of thinking locally. It's going to take time, and it's a shift in perspective from the idea of somebody like a great new governor of your state or another Trump in office. If you like Trump, like I did, it's the idea that we're going to get somebody who's going to come in at a high office, and then we're going to get this trickle down effect of positive behavior from institutions like this NOACA, or our school board, or our county sheriff, in protecting our civil rights and liberties. That is, to me, now that I've done my research, counterintuitive. So that's what I'm doing, and that's where this letter came from. That this experience lit a fire in my belly and led to the creation of that letter, and just sort of beating the drum to try and stir up some agitation on the part of my fellow countrymen.
All right, so we need to tell the people out there that when you run for a precinct committeeman, it's not, in fact, a lot of precincts don't have anybody even running. And yep. And again, you don't need many votes. Sometimes as many as 15, 20 votes will is all you need. And you'll win, okay, in these precincts. And then you go in there and you get to do exactly what you're supposed to do and tell them, look, this is what the people in my area feel. This is what they believe. This is, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it was set up for it to work that way. You know, when people get to the point where, you know, again, there's this whole idea of ignorance and apathy, when they say, well, you know, I don't know what it's all about and I don't care. That's when you find out you got $6 a gallon gas. By the way, you're supposed to have, they say by the 4th of July, we're going to have $6 a gallon gas. This is where you have shortages here. I got an article here talking about people are going to, they're going to Mexico to get baby formula. Or they have to go out of the country to get baby formula because they don't have enough. This is where you end up with these things because, well, I don't know. You know, Joe Sixpack, he doesn't get involved. This is why, you know, the church I pastor is called Doers of the Word. And it's called Doers of the Word because we mean it. And, you know, when we first started that, we had that name, there were some of those that were indignant saying, how dare you call yourself Doers of the Word? I mean, that's actually, you actually believe God's Word, the Bible, for real, you know? Yeah, we do, and we've been doers of the Word. We've been activists. Because that's what God's Word, the Bible, demands that we be. Doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And there's a good reason the country's in the shape it's in. And let me tell you, the number one culprit, the number one responsible for that are the pastors. The pastors are the ones that have the responsibility, the first responsibility to lead the people against this corruption. They failed. They feared a corrupt government more than they feared God. And that's the problem. And
on that note, Let me throw something out there. You know, getting to know Pastor here, he's a man of his word. He preaches the Bible. He lives the Bible. The Bible talks about ear ticklers. And I can't tell all my brothers in the United States how many pastors we have in the pulpit that are weak. I'm going to say it again. They're weak, and they are ear ticklers. If you are not teaching in the book of Revelation, then you are doing your congregation a major injustice. There are some pastors who I used to admire, and because I admired them, I'm going to keep their names out of it, but they are weak men, they are weak pastors, and they are not teaching their congregation from the book of Revelation. They are not allowing their Bible studies to be in the book of Revelation because they think it's divisive, it's difficult to understand. But if you are a Christian and you let the Holy Spirit lead you and teach you, you're going to be spending a lot of time in the book of Revelation, because I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we're living in the time of Revelation. And the only thing that's going to get us through it is the Holy Spirit of God and our faith in Jesus
Christ.
Well,
that's exactly right, Marty. But the Bible tells us that we are to preach the whole gospel from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
And again, it tells us this, that the righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are as bold as lions. If you've got a prissy preacher in that pulpit, you need to get out of there. You need to leave there. The Bible says what? Come out from amongst them, be you separate from them, okay? And that's the problem we have in the pulpits. The vast majority are not saved. They're not saved.
Well, and here's the funny thing about America, because growing up in the 70s and the 80s, we had a pretty decent government. We didn't think tyranny was something that we would see on our soil. I know you like the quote, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. But tyranny, in my mind, is defined as that which is legal for the government, but illegal for its citizenry. And you know how much corruption our government is perpetrating on the American people? But when we do something, it's illegal, you get locked up, you go to jail. I mean, let me say that again. Tyranny is defined at its simplest form as that which is legal for the government, but illegal for its citizenry. And that's where we find ourselves today.
You see, there's a difference between being legal and lawful. You know, we are to hold to what is lawful. That's what God's Word, the Bible, gives us, okay? And what happens is they have said, well, we will take what God has made unlawful and make it legal by license. And that is what's happened out there today. And so we need to continue to... And the Bible says this, that all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. All nations, you know, our nation is slowly being turned into hell. I mean, it is being destroyed from within. And the people better awaken, because we're running out of time to awaken. They have to run. And so we have to start right here on the local level, like you were talking about. We are... You know, by both what I just read from Thomas Jefferson, the Constitution, we have to have a new government. Our old government has gone bad. It has totally gone away from the people. And so we are, first of all, God's Word, the Bible tells us we're required, okay? We have a charge from the Word of God, and then our Constitution tells us, too. We have to start on the local level and take our country back. And you start that, like you said, with the precinct committeemen, that's where it starts.
But earlier, did you say people are becoming ignorant and empathetic? What was the word you
apathetic,
used?
Apathetic.
So it prompted my mind. The people that become ignorant and apathetic are usually a byproduct of fraud and corruption. And when I go back to what Jonathan taught me about this Nancy MacArthur, she was leading the little central committee through fraud and corruption. She wasn't including all of the Republicans that should have had a voice at the basic level. She was keeping meetings secretive and clandestine. People that didn't even know. I mean, if you're a true chairman and you've got some little precincts that are unrepresented, no one's even running, zero against zero. That should have been her job, to let the people know, to get out there and to bring more people into the Central Committee. But she wanted even less people in the Central Committee so she could run it like a dictatorial thing.
See, that is commonplace within the Democratic Communist Party. That's exactly how Nancy Pelosi ran the Congress, okay? You know, a lot of these Democrats, they don't really like to vote against, I mean, to be in lockstep. There's a lot of things that actually makes them sick. A lot of them, believe it or not, there are probably some Democrats out there that are not homosexuals. There may be some. There was a couple that were pro-life, and they said you can't be pro-life and be in this party without being ridiculed, laughed at, mocked, and so. But they feared Nancy with her iron grip upon them, And a lot of them have just had it. They're not going to run. Now, here's the thing, fellas, and people better understand this. These people are corrupt. They're totally corrupt. And they cannot afford to have a legal, honest election. They can't afford that. If there is, come November, an honest election, they're going to be the party will be decimated. They have to do something to stop that. Okay, and we see a lot of what is happening. We've been telling you from a word go, Joe Obama has been bringing in young men of fighting age, and he's been bringing them in nights. He's been shipping them on buses to these little towns and cities out in the country, and they're sleeper cells. This is what's happening. These are sleeper cells.
We watched a movie at our church. It was people were coming in from Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Ecuador, and they're all happy. They're coming in because they're getting a bunch of free stuff paid for them. But you're right. These are guys that are going to become. And the funny thing was, you got all these people coming in, and you see the buses. There's no children. It's no children. You see a few women, and those women all look like they were military type women. But and our government's taken our hard-earned tax dollars, and they're using it to subsidize these people coming into our country who are probably going to be used to turn on us at some point. And that's why I go back to, you know, I'm not a huge, huge, huge gun guy, but I'm a huge, huge, huge believer in the Second Amendment, because I know the right to bear arms is what keeps my government in check. And it keeps me safe in my home at night, because we all know the criminals, the crooks, they're going to have their semi-automatic weapons. And if we've got little 22 pistols, we're outgunned, we're outclassed.
Here, Dr. Kelly Ward, she says this: Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, Lindsey Graham, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney are trying to destroy the Republican Party. They are. They are. They're.
Oh yeah.
And so people need to understand that.
Not to interrupt, but let me interject. You read that list. I didn't know where you were going with it, but I'm sitting here in my mind going, "This is probably negative," because there's not a person on that list that I admire, that I respect, or that I would ever vote for.
Okay, so here, Ward led Republicans through a tumultuous year following the stolen 2020 presidential election in their state. They will not admit that the election was stolen. Okay, we know. We know without a doubt the Republican Party, shameful, the GOP still has not mentioned 2,000 mules. And by the way, the folks out there, we have the 2,000 mules. We got another shipment coming in. In fact, it should be in by tomorrow. And so we ask, you know, any kind of a donation of $60 or more, we'll send you that 2,000 mule. But you really need to let us know that you want it. Now, when you get the mules, it doesn't do us any good if you just watch it for yourself. You need to invite family over. You need to take it to your library. You need to take it. We're going to be showing it at the next Tea Party meeting. The next Tea Party, which I believe is the 8th of June, we're going to be showing the it's the 7th. The 7th of June, we'll be showing the 2,000 mules. And so here in Geauga County. But we've shown it at the church, two or three times now. And, folks, you need to, because all of that documentation that Fox News denies is right there, and they won't look at it. The Republican Party does not want to look at it because they sold us out.
They totally did.
They sold us out.
It started with Liz Cheney and, what was her name, Ronna Romney McDaniel.
Yep.
Yeah. I always make a point of throwing her middle name in there, because there are still a lot of people that don't know that she is a Romney. She's at the head of, right? She's national head of the GOP. She's a Romney. And, you know, if you don't know already, Mitt Romney is, I think, king of the rhino herd. Or he's definitely high up there in the rhino land in my book.
Yeah.
That's atrocious.
Absolutely. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham is another one you can't trust.
Yep.
But here, on Tuesday, Kelly Ward attended, the much-anticipated hearing with True the Vote investigators Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips to discuss the ballot harvesting in Yuma and Maricopa counties in Arizona. Now, you won't hear this on Fox News either. You're not going to hear what we're telling you. Before the hearing started, Kelly Ward unloaded on the corrupt, the very, very corrupt Republicans who have no respect for their voters. Arizona GOP Chair Dr. Kelly Ward, again, she goes on to say, continued her thrashing of the Rhino elites on later on Newsmax. Many times Republicans want to just ignore the primaries and say, well, whichever Republican is there is better than the Democrat, and most are. I will tell you, most are. I don't know why the media pretends that Adam Kissinger is actually a Republican. He is not a Republican. He is a Democrat. He is a Democrat colluder. That's what happened out here in our county. Okay.
Yeah, same thing.
And he also wants to destroy this country. He's another one who is open to gun bans. He's open to destroying the nation, for goodness sakes. So these types of so-called Republicans, we have got to replace them. Remember, this is where, again, the Central Committee comes in. Remember this, President Trump has been trying to save the Republican Party, whereas Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, Lindsey Graham, Adam Kissinger, Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, and Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, are trying to destroy it. And that's reality. We know that.
There's a whole host of others as well.
And you touched on something there. When I was growing up as a kid, I remember before I was of voting age, my father would say, I'm just going to go vote the complete Republican ticket. Doesn't matter who these people are because they're all better than the Democrats. And I think over time, the Democratic leadership realized that. And I from a strategist standpoint, from a chess match strategy, the Democrats wised up and they realized that what they were peddling was, excuse my French, crap. So they came up with these ideas to cross over into the Republican Party and try to hide and stay under the radar with their true colors and try to become Republicans. And then when their true colors came out, we labeled them rhinos. And they know, to this day, the Democrats know deep down the majority of America, when we're awake and we're alert, we don't want any damn thing they're selling. They're selling fraud, corruption, deceit, poor health care, poor medical, this whole COVID controversy, which is a piece of man-made crap. All this stuff. Matter of fact,
racism,
division, CRT,
gender bending.
So all these Republicans, all these true, real, powerful Republicans. Let me shout out to two men here. One's retired. I know a bunch of Republicans that thought because he wasn't a powerful man, he wasn't a great orator, that he wasn't a real powerful man that could be president. But when what was Rand Paul's father's name?
Ron.
Ron. When Ron Paul ran for president, I got an argument with my father saying the most qualified man to be president of the United States is Ron Paul. I'm going to tell you why. He's got a heart for the American people, and he's honest. We haven't had too many people that have a heart for American people. That's the thing that everyone fell in love with Donald Trump. He had a heart for the American people. That whole list of all those people that you rattled off, every one of them have a heart for increasing their bank accounts and pandering to the elite of the world. We need men and women. Look at Liz Cheney. What did she ever do? She's running on her father's coattails, and he wasn't even a great Republican. He was the leader of the swamp. The deep state.
Yep.
So we've got a real problem in America right now, and if people don't wake up and smell the roses, there ain't going to be any more roses to smell in America.
Absolutely. And again, like I said, we have a charge by Almighty God to do everything we can to restore America. Now, again, it starts in the pulpit too. It starts right in. Look, where does judgment begin? In the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. You see, God's paying close attention to all of this, okay? He's watching us. Remember, who was it that gave us this great nation, one nation under God? Who gave us that? Where do we get our freedoms and liberty from?
God.
Okay, so if we forget our God, does he forget us? What does he say in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed of knowledge because...
Lack of knowledge.
Right, and because they have forgotten my laws, I will forget their children. Look what's happened to the children in this country. Okay, so again, it starts, and I've been saying this for years and years and years. Folks, you've got to get into a church. It's an actual New Testament church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching. That pastor in that church is supposed to be the one that leads you, right? Remember when the Apostle Paul says, watch what I say, or listen to what I say, watch what I do, do that what I do, okay? So that pastor is supposed to be the leader. And if he is doing his job, remember the Black Road Regiment?
Yeah.
They led this country in the war for independence. The black, why? Well, they understood God's word, the Bible. They understood resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. They understood that.
I remember watching, let me throw another shout out there.
You have to do it after this because we're right up against the break. Be back right after this with more. Right after this with more.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel? Sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be. Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be.
We are back. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And folks, people say, Pastor, you forget to give the address of your church out, and we're looking for a real unregistered church. By the way, some of you folks had asked me if I could find a church in your area, you're all over the entire country. Now, so what we did is we tried to get an updated list, an updated list is coming of unregistered New Testament churches. When I get it, for you that I haven't got back to, Lord's willing, I will get back to you. And so I just want you to know that. Now, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we meet on Sunday morning. We start with the praise and worship at 8:30, in-depth Bible study at 9:30. And the regular service starts at 11:30. And then in the afternoon, at around 5 p.m. in the afternoon, we have the Bible and Current Event class. And then the regular service starts at 6. So that's Doers of the Word Baptist Church, an actual New Testament, unregistered New Testament church, where Christ and Christ alone is the head, not the state. And our address is 14781 Sperry Road, and that's in Newberry, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio, 44065. Our phone number there is 440-338-1367. Now, if you're on the Internet, you can just go to wrwl.org, wrwl.org, and all that information is up there. And so it also tells you how you can help us stay on the air and keep fighting the enemy, keep fighting the, what they call mainstream media. And by the way, if you don't get our newsletter, you really should. It's one of the best newsletters out there. All of that, the things that they do not want you to hear, or the things you hear us talking about here in this program, are in those newsletter, and it's free. It's absolutely free. And you don't want to miss that up because, like I said, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are bringing it to you. Like with what's happening in Ukraine, you only get one side, the left, whatever the so-called narrative is, whatever. Those people that when you look at that at NBC, ABC, CBS, when you're watching those talking heads on the television, they are reading to you off a script. And today, just like the echo chamber was in full volume, you'll see they repeat, you'll change the stations. We are the end run around them. That's who we are. We're bringing you what they don't want you to know. And by the way, you talked about Republicans. Jim Jordan is one of those Republicans we need.
Jim Jordan might be, in my humble opinion, one of the greatest men in Congress right now.
He is. Another one is Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is another one. In fact, Matt Gaetz says the DNC law firm Perkins Coie admits it has FBI workspace in its D.C. office, and Michael Sussman was operating the worksite. The Democratic Party and the FBI has gone completely corrupt. There's no legitimacy left there. They're not an independent organization. They're a part of the Democratic Communist Party. And so we owe them, we don't owe them any legitimacy at all because they have none. They have gone totally corrupt. So there you go.
Right? So, hey, Pastor, if you wouldn't mind me making a couple of comments on motivations and encourage your listeners with a few, I want to arm people with a few means of fighting back on a few levels. And hopefully it's not just, you know, that your leaders, that your readers follow my correlation between the fight in education and issues like Second Amendment, etc., and the politics, because at a certain point, money and politics are what influences all of this. So I gave a lot of thought and work in the education realm, figuring out how to sort of build consensus, rally the troops, and raise awareness of the issues in education. And with all this woke stuff over the last couple of years, the CRT that came in and the SEL and the pornography and all that stuff, it's difficult to argue individual issues. See if you follow me on this. But it's easy when you go in to a school district and can show that academics are suffering, the light bulb goes on, the community rallies, and everybody understands we have a problem here. They'll suddenly, the blinders come off, and they'll look away from the CRT argument or SEL or whatever and say, hold on a minute, wait, time out. My kids' grades are suffering.
Florida. And
we're showing charts.
Florida. Do you know what just happened in Florida 2 weeks ago?
What happened?
In Florida, they get the those who print up the curriculum, those that write the books and put all that pornography in the books, they were given an ultimatum. Pull it out or get out.
Yep.
And guess what they did? They pulled it out.
Yeah.
They pulled it out, okay? And see, that'll happen. That can happen in Ohio, too, if we have a strong leader in Ohio. That can happen all across the country. And when people start seeing it. Now, in New York, for example, what's taking place there, the children are in a public school required to sit in and let the drag queens and have story time with drag queens. They're required to do that. So what does that tell you? If you're a parent and you allow your children to go to a public school where that's going on, do you love your children?
Me? Absolutely do.
No. If you're a parent that allows your children to be influenced by drag queens.
No. That's that's misguided. Those are the parents
that's
who gave
child
up
abuse.
On, that's child abuse, and those are the parents that gave up on parenting and bought into this new trend of trying to be your kid's friend instead of actual parenting. The type of parents who step in and provide moral guidance. And
I'll be getting letters from saying, you know what, I agree with you, but I'm one of those parents who got my children in school. I'm a single parent. What am I going to do? I can't afford to homeschool. I can't afford. Yeah, you can. I can't afford to.
You can't afford not to homeschool.
Right. And you're better to if the kid doesn't go to school at all than to go to a public school in New York.
These are actually the things that you reference are areas where I spend a lot of my volunteer time. So the Florida school book issue is one that we've been communicating on rigorously for weeks now. And we've published that list, and we're pushing that list into other states, Nebraska, Iowa, Maine, even surprisingly, Ohio. So that list out of Florida and Texas has another list, nearly identical, but with a few minor differences. But those lists we're taking to state regulators and fighting back to try and get rid of them. By the way, New York City School District, the largest school district in the country with slightly over 1,600 school buildings, school classrooms, they're actually a testing ground for new far-left curriculum for next year. The problem everyone's running into is the left has learned their lesson from the pushback and parent awareness of the last year, and they're keeping this under tight wraps. There very few little secrets are trickling out about what's being developed in New York. But the way the education industry looks at it, by the way, is a little side note. I've joined the fighting back right ranks, and I no longer refer to them as public schools. I refer to them as government schools.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about the public, and they don't listen to the public, and they're clearly not answerable to the public. So they're government schools. But in fighting back against this this woke curriculum, one of the things that we look to, even in Ohio, in the Midwest, all across the country, is not only what's happening in two key markets, that is New York City schools and Los Angeles City schools, both far left, very progressive agendas, but also now this new element of global education. Because, sorry, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I think all your listeners should know this and know to look out for it. The main key publisher for school curriculum is a company called Pearson Publishing, based out of London, England. They amassed the publishing rights of most books and were the key publisher starting probably in the 1960s, maybe even earlier, publishing textbooks. Now it's all online, web-based curriculum. But here's something you may not know. The ownership of Pearson Publishing over the last roughly decade has transitioned several times. From a few key wealthy individuals who owned Pearson Publishing, pushed all this nasty stuff out, typically just to the West, United States, Canada, maybe Mexico, and a few different languages. But it has transitioned, and now the owners of Pearson Publishing are almost entirely Middle Eastern. And they're not Middle Eastern families. They're corporate entities, basically, that have purchased Pearson Publishing. So when you get into conversations about what's being published in government schools, not only in the U.S., but all over the world, India, China, Japan, they're trying to get it into Russia, all over Europe, U.K., all of them nearly identical curriculum and educational goals. It's all being dictated out of a global conglomerate. So I got onto a tangent there. I just wanted to sort of touch on Pearson Publishing and where they fit in fit into the equation on all of this. But here's the thing. When you get out into daily life and people like you mentioned, the single parents, the people say, well, I don't really understand. I don't know how it can be all that bad. It's probably maybe CRT is okay. You get that whole range of response. The first thing we need to do is figure out how to get their attention, get the attention of those individuals and clue them in that there's an issue. There's a real problem here and you need to be looking at it. And the fastest way to do that in education is by showing the charts of falling academics. And you can do that. And it's now we can chart them and show them by school district. But here's the thing. There's a comparable argument that's available to the RINOs. And I'm looking at Central Committee, for instance, or a governor, or anybody in any elected position. It's difficult for us, those of us who are on the right, to argue that we're challenging a RINO. It's difficult to go in, for instance, and for me to assert the claim that this woman who is running our local county Republican Party Central Committee is a RINO. She's really truly a Democrat, and she's just a staged actor working against our interests. What I can do is follow the money, because there has to be a motivation. There's a motivation there somewhere. Look at this. This article, I'm digging deeper, and Marty and I are going to be spending a lot more time working on this issue in Geauga County, but this is an unpaid position. This woman has spent 8 years in an unpaid position flowing huge money and her own interests, and has even just recently thrown herself under the bus to make sure that other RINOs get elected to these key positions. I don't think that anybody out there takes those types of life risks without some sort of remuneration.
Do you know what Harry Truman said? He said, anyone who gets rich while they're in office, any politician that gets rich in office, you can bet they're a crook.
Yep.
That's what he said. And take a look at Nancy Pelosi. Look at all this. The 10 wealthiest U.S. senators are all all Democrats. There's not one Republican. All 10 are Democrats. Okay. And the 10 wealthiest. But then there's some of the RINOs aren't far behind at all.
Yeah, but it's telling to look at the, well, I would say source, but it's really difficult for us to make a determination of what the source actually is. But look at the timing of that wealth. The timing, if it coincides with them, and I've mentioned it a bunch of times in my writings and the things that I post, if you see a politician get to D.C. with $100 in their pocket, and they leave 15 years later, a multi-millionaire, you have a problem.
Yeah, we definitely do have a problem. We're coming up to the end of the program here. And so I wanted to say this, a couple of things. We talked about New York. New York has lost 4% of its population in just past year. People are leaving the blue states in large numbers, especially the blue cities. They're leaving and they're heading towards red states. And well, I don't have to tell you what it's like out here. Just trying to, you know, you used to see a house would go on the market, be on the market for 6 months. Today, it's not even out for six hours.
Six days.
Yeah, yep. 6 hours. I mean, the house goes up time and time. A house would go up, and because I have friends that want to move in here from California, or New York, or New Jersey, and they say, if you see a house, let me know. So I call them, and within, by tomorrow, the next day, the house is sold already, and because people want to get out of the blue states in here. But we are out of time for tonight, so what is the most important thing to anyone that's alive today? There's one thing that's more important than anything else.
Personal relationship with God.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you know why? How many people that you know that are alive today are going to die?
100%.
More than
Okay, and so now does God always do what he says? Because he says it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. Then the judgment. So when that judgment comes, when you die, you're going to die one or two ways. You're going to die saved, blood-washed, born-again believer, or you're going to die in your sin. Now, that's the reality. There's just, you see, a lot of people don't like absolutes, but there's a lot of them in God's Word, the Bible. And so here, the folks, you got to think, well, I'd like to be saved, but I don't want to do it quite yet. I want to just, as the guy, when I was preaching on the street, these young boys come up, and one of them told me that, he said, when I get old like you, I'm going to get religion, but until then, I'm going to party hardy. And I said, son, okay, you don't get this old by being stupid, okay? You probably will never get as old as I am. And by the way, you're liable to run out of tomorrow's tonight. So folks out there listening, here's reality. Look, the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He did all the heavy lifting for you. That's Rupert over there, okay, making that racket. Anyhow, Marty Rupert, he's the one. Anyhow, so, folks, the Lord Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He took, now this is far behind, it's way beyond the comprehension of any living person, and that is the fact that he took the sins of the world upon him. And when the scripture says he suffered like no man ever suffered, to have the weight of the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future, is far beyond your comprehension. And this is why, because God the Father could not look upon sin without punishing it. That's why he had to turn his head away from our Lord while he was on that cross. It was an excruciating thing, again, beyond our words. But he did it. He took your place, a substitutionary death. That's a reality. That's a fact. That happened. And what you have to do is, like he says, you have to call upon his name. You got to pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Then you got to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. He's got to be number one, okay? In fact, that's what he says. Unless you love me more than mother or father or sister or brother. And if you'll do that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And then you will be on the road to eternal life. You'll be on that road to eternal life. And God always, always, always honors those that make a commitment to him. And so when you have God's word on something, you have something that can never even be broken. Cannot be broken.
And it's as simple as opening up your heart, asking him to come into it, and asking him to guide, guard, and direct your path.
And there's never, ever been anyone who has ever regretted receiving eternal life. But I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people in hell today that wish they weren't there. And you don't want to be one of them. You don't want to run out of tomorrow's tonight. So, but we've run out of time for tonight. So, as we say every night at this time, good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.